And this sermon is entitled, Be Faithful with What You Have. Because it's the end of the year, probably this is the same for you. All of the podcasts I listen to are looking back and taking the year in review. And the shows we watch and whatever you do, we also take stock. It's natural to take stock of things when you finish the year and you enter a new one. We do this as individuals. We do this as businesses and organizations. The church does this. Our nominating committee and our annual church report, we've started on that. And we look at how did the past year go. We look at how much was spent, how much was earned. We look at how much was accomplished for our mission and what wasn't yet. And obviously our church fathers way back 1,000-something years ago, 1,300 years ago, when they set the lectionary for our church year, they did the same thing, because today's assigned reading always at this time of year is a parable where Jesus talks about an end of year accounting. And he tells about an investor. And this investor invested his money in three different people, and now he calls them all to account. And you probably remember this parable. The first two guys doubled the investment given to them and got 100% return for this investor. But the third guy, he was passive. He was afraid of losing. And so he just gave the same amount that he was given. The investor chews this guy out, truly, with some harsh words, calling him names and casting him out of his presence for not making him any money. So why is this story in the Bible is a great question. And why is Jesus telling it? Is Jesus an aggressive investor? Is that the lesson of the story? Does he want us to be? As always, if you are looking at parables about other guys and other things and investments, it doesn't make much sense. If you look at everything Jesus says as the story of us, it does make sense. That is, it's not about the investments we make, it's about the investments we are. Each of us is first and foremost an investment by God. True? Our lives, our talents, our families, our churches, ethnic background, health, all given by God. This is his investment in each of us. So we're working on borrowed money, we're working on borrowed life. Are we giving God a return on his investment, or are we just clinging to what we think is ours? And remember that God measures performance, returns, differently from the world. God won't compare our performance to some metric, or he won't compare us to anyone else either. God made us, and he knows us before we were even born. He gave you your talents, your you, really, and he expects you to use it for his kingdom. And me too. The Desert Fathers, whose feast was a couple weeks ago, they taught this all the time, including Macarius the Great, who we actually say his name every Sunday. In Balarak we chant. And there's a famous story about him that's relevant for today. A young monk comes up to Father Macarius, and he's troubled and discouraged, and he says, Father, I have no great gifts. I can't preach like some. I can't fast like others. I can't pray with the strength of the elders. What can I possibly offer to God? And Abba Macarius led him outside to a row of monastic cells, and he pointed to the one cell, and he said, Do you see that door? Yes, Father. Macarius said, For 30 years, the brother who lives here hasn't performed a single miracle. He hasn't written a book. He hasn't spoken a great sermon. But every day, he rises, he prays, he works, he forgives. He keeps peace in his heart, and he welcomes every brother who knocks. And so the elder placed his hands on the young monk and said, God does not ask you to be someone else. He asks you to be faithful with what you have. And even then, a small cell becomes a great kingdom when a man fills it with obedience. And the young monk understood that his talent was not spectacular, but it was real, and God expected him to use it. And we're the same way. We have talents and potentials, with and for God. But often we get so caught up in what we don't have that we forget how much we do have. And as we approach the new year, it truly is a perfect time to take account of what we've been given, how well we did last year, how we fell short, how we resolved to do better. And that resolution is where New Year's resolutions come from. And it's a natural inclination. And the only problem with those resolutions is, as Paul said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. New Year's resolutions are fickle, notoriously, because despite our best intentions, we're limited in our willpower and our ability to change ourselves by ourselves. But God is not limited in any way. And so if we align our mind and heart and thoughts to acting in the grace of God for the love of our neighbor and building up the body of Christ, our talents will shine in the everlasting kingdom of heaven. And so my prayer is that we all resolve in this new year ahead to thank God every minute of every day for the investment made in us, in our very lives. And let's stop striving after fickle things of the world and comparing ourselves to anyone else. Instead, recall that there is only one you. You're beloved of God, and you're called to offer whatever you have in service of God and love of others. And doing this, may we find peace in our hearts and be found faithful in what we have, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.